Tonight the wind will continue to rise until there's not a single trash can left standing on the street. The clouds will be as tall as black mountains. In the backyard, beneath the hedge of thorns, the earth will turn to mud, and then to water, a pool of deception and regret. Jimmy's not staying buried. First the ring, then a boot. I'm afraid to guess what's going to come up next. I start to think about it, and I just kind of black out. I listen to the news, and the storm that's coming is going to be bad. Sally moves her chair closer to Jillian's. Their knees touch. Their pulse rate is exactly the same, the way it always was during a thunderstorm.
"What do we do?" Sally whispers. It's the first time she's ever asked for Jillian's opinion or advice. And Jillian follows her example. It's actually true what they say about asking for help. Take a deep breath, and it hurts a whole lot less to admit it out loud.
"Call the aunts," Jillian tells Sally. "Do it now." On the eighth day of the eighth month, the aunts arrive on a Greyhound bus. The minute the driver hops down, he makes certain to get their black suitcases from the luggage compartment first thing, even though the larger of their suitcases is so heavy he has to use all his strength just to budget, and he nearly tears a ligament when he lifts it out. "Hold your horses," he advises the other passengers, who are all complaining that they're the ones who must have their suitcases now in order to catch a connecting bus or run to meet a husband or a friend. The driver just ignores them and goes about his business. "I wouldn't want you ladies to wait," he tells the aunts. The aunts are so old it's impossible to tell their age. Their hair is white and their spines are crooked. They wear long black skirts and laced leather boots. Though they haven't left Massachusetts in more than 40 years, they're certainly not intimidated by travel, or by anything else, for that matter. They know what they want, and they're not afraid to be outspoken, which is why they pay no attention to the other passengers' complaints, and continue to direct the driver on how to place the larger suitcase on the curb carefully.
"What have you got in here?" the driver jokes. "A ton of bricks?"
The aunts don't bother to answer. They have very little tolerance for dim-witted humor, and they're not interested in making polite conversation. They stand on the corner near the bus station and whistle for a taxi. As soon as one pulls over, they tell the driver exactly where to go. Along the turnpike for 7 miles, past the mall and the shopping centers, past the Chinese restaurant and the deli and the ice cream shop where Antonia has worked this summer. The aunts smell like lavender and sulfur, a disquieting mixture, and maybe that's the reason the taxi driver holds the door open for them when they arrive at Sally's house, even though they didn't bother to tip him. The aunts don't believe in tips, and they never have. They believe in earning your worth and doing the job right, and when you come right down to it, that's what they're here for.